Dog Works Radio is sponsored by Alaska Dog Works. Check out their website at alaskadogworks.com.
You can support this podcast on patreon.com/teamaneke.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by First Paw Coffee Company, specializing in private label premium blend coffee. If you're serious about coffee, you should check it out. First Paw Coffee's passion is high-quality, small-batch roasted coffee. They take the extra time to taste and get everything perfect before they release new blends. They aim to bring you a cup of happiness each time you pour yourself some coffee. Find out more at ak.dog/free and enter for a chance to win some First Paw Coffee prizes, a book from our collection, and tote bag. One winner will be selected at random each month. That's ak.dog/free.
From First Paw Media, sponsored by Alaska Dog Works Professional Canine Training Center in Anchorage, Alaska. This is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Dog Works Radio on KVRF 89.7 in the Matsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site. You can find all of our episodes over on dogworksradio.com. And today I am joined by a special guest. His name is David Fry, and he has been involved in the dog sport world for many, many years. He's hosted dog shows on TV. He's involved with therapy dogs, and he's written several books that we're going to jump into in a second. David, how's it going today?
Well, it's going great. I think all things considered, if I'm going to be stuck somewhere, it's good to be stuck right here at home with my dog and and get ready to see this great dog show that we just did for the fourth year and from Beverly Hills, and hope that all falls into place for that.
Excellent. David, could you do us a favor and just give us a quick who you are and what you're all about, please?
Well, sure. David Fry. I'm the longtime voice of the Westminster Kennel Club for 27 years. And after the 2016 show, I left to work full-time for NDC, doing two dog shows a year for them. One is the National Dog Show that's on Thanksgiving Day that we've done, overlapped with Westminster for a while. We are about to do our 19th year of that in November. But I also do the Beverly Hills Dog Show, which airs this Sunday on NBC, May 17th at 8 o'clock. And that's for the fourth year of the Beverly Hills Dog Show. So I do dog shows on TV, had a charity that was called Angel on a Leash, which specialized in therapy dogs, and wrote a book called Angel on a Leash about my adventures in therapy dogs and at Westminster. And I also have another book out called The Angel by My Side. That's about a heroic golden retriever service dog. So I've been pretty much involved with dogs my whole adult life, maybe almost 40 years. Showing, breeding, judging, Afghan hounds, Brittany's, and Cavaliers were my breeds. Involved with judging other breeds as well. So dogs are my life, and I'm a better person for it.
Excellent. You know, David, I got my start in dog sports, in confirmation shows, to be exact, with Siberian Huskies. And I was also just getting started in sled dog sports, the mushing sports, at about the same time. And my dogs did not look anything like the show dogs, if you will. And I tell you what, I did not feel more out of my element in that show ring than anywhere else in the world. It's a different world, isn't it?
Well, it is a different world. Our dogs lead a little different existence in terms of you know, every breed was developed to do a particular job. And as they were doing their jobs, we started showing them, getting involved with dog shows. And suddenly, they had a lot more hair than they may in the field. And suddenly, maybe they weren't in the same rock hard condition that you might have a dog from the field it would be in as they are in the ring. Although we do a pretty good job of conditioning them, and they do hold up pretty well in that respect. But the difference in the dog show world is that they're just like your dogs at home. We just dress them up and take them to dog shows on weekends, and And that's all part of the fun of having dogs, is the great things we get to do together with them that that they enjoy and that we enjoy as well.
You know, David, I really learned a lot about dogs by watching the Westminster show every year, every February on USA Network back in the day. And you know, I took that knowledge and, of course, applied that to my dog training business, you know, learning about, you know, the 100+ breeds that there are and seeing those in. And the reason I say that is because most people, that's where they are introduced to a lot of these dogs that they've heard about or maybe have seen on TV, but they really see them up close and personal on dog shows on TV like this, don't they?
Absolutely. And I think that's the greatest thing we do is we educate the general public about dogs. We educate them about things like responsible ownership and about particular breeds and their history, what they were bred to do, how they were developed. You're going to see dogs in the dog show that you're not going to see walking down the street just by sheer numbers. Now we have 208 recognized breeds and varieties that are eligible for dog shows. And so we try to share that with you at the dog show and say, hey, this dog was bred to chase down game in an open field. So you're going to know that the dog is going to need some exercise. If you're looking at one for yourself in your home, you need to take those kinds of things in consideration. And we think we do a pretty good job of that. I was with Westminster. We did Westminster on television from 1990 to 2016, so 27 shows on Westminster. We're coming up on our 19th show for the National Dog Show and four years with Beverly Hills. So we think we've had a lot of exposure to people. We have 25 million people watching this show on Thanksgiving Day on NBC. And we think we've had a lot of positive influence, mostly just sharing our great relationships with the dogs. Everything we do on television is a celebration of the dogs in our lives. And that's what makes it, I think, valuable to people watching at home and entertaining to people watching at home. So we want them to root for their favorites, but we also want them to know that there are other dogs and other breeds out there besides maybe the one that we call your alma mater sitting next to you on the couch.
Right. And you know, David, to get to one of these big national shows, and I think a lot of people don't know this, but it's very similar to other types of sports. You have to work your way up to get there. You know, this is sort of like the Super Bowl of dog shows. Is that a good representation? You know, you got to go to your local shows and you got to go to your regionals and your nationals and all of that. Is that still the way it works today?
Well, our shows, the two shows that we're doing on television now, you can enter at any level.
Wow.
And you compete first at three different levels. It's like an advancing bracket in sports. As you know from dabbling in it, the first level is you're competing in your breed. If you have a Siberian Husky, you compete first against all the other Siberian Huskies. And if you're judged to be at the breed level to judge the best breed dog for the day, you advance into or 208. We're going to start with 208 different breeds and varieties. If you're judged to be the best Siberian Husky, you'll advance into the working group. So there's seven different groups, and so we've now divided those initial, say, 2,000 dogs in the dog show. We've divided it down to be 208 or so breed winners that advance into those seven groups. And then from those seven groups, sporting, hound, working, carrier, toys, non-sporting, and herding, we'll pick a group winner in each of those groups, and those seven group winners come together at the very end, advancing in, as I say, in a bracket, come together at the very end, and one of them is judged to be best in show. So if you're having a good day and your dog's having a good day, it could end well for you.
So, David, you had said that not only have you been involved with it from sort of the announcer side or sort of behind the mic side, but you're also a judge in these shows. What are some of the things that you're looking for? You hear words like confirmation and you know, what they should represent. But when you're looking at hundreds of dogs a day, and in particular in the group itself, as you mentioned, the Siberian, there may be 50 Siberians there. How do you tell each one apart by just the few minutes that you see them as they go around the ring?
That could be a real challenge, of course, but you know, every dog was bred to do a specific job, and it has a written standard that describes how the dog should be built. It describes some aesthetic things like eye colors and eye shape, but it might also tell you how tall it should be, what it should weigh, how its bone structure should be, what its temperament and its personality ought to be. And that standard is what the judge is judging the dog against. I'm not necessarily, although at the breed level, you can't help but do it a little bit. I'm not necessarily at the group level, where the Siberian is one of 35 breeds in the group. You can't judge the Siberian against the standard Schnauzer. You can't judge a Siberian against the Black Russian Terrier, who are also in the group with them. You have to judge the Siberian against the ideal specimen of the Siberian and say, you know what, in my mind, and people don't necessarily use a point thing, but in my mind, I'm going to give this Siberian a 95 because it's one of the best Siberians I've ever seen. And now I come over here to the Borbal, and I say, this is a great Borbal. I'm going to give it about a 90. Well, that means that you think the Siberian's a better Siberian than the Borbal is a Borbal. And we kind of go from there when we're judging breeds that are different. But it all goes back to form and function. A dog needs to be built in a way that helps it do its job in the most efficient way. And you don't always, as a judge, you don't get to see them doing that job. You have to be able to imagine them. Hopefully you've seen these breeds doing their thing out in the field, so you have some idea when you're judging them how it all comes together. But at a dog show, you've got to rely on your knowledge, your hands on the dog, and feel what's underneath all that coat, and watching them move around the ring. And that's what dog shows come down to.
It's got to be one of the best jobs in the world to do a little bit of everything: handling, judging, commentating, just seeing them all. As a dog lover, and of course a dog trainer for many years, and have seen many dogs, I just love seeing all the different types. David, if we could, let's transition over to the work that you do with therapy dogs. And I was reading through your bio, and you've been doing this quite a while, and you're heavily involved with some organizations in New York City, if I believe. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll jump into your books and so on.
Okay. Well, I've now moved to the Oregon coast. I grew up in Oregon, and I wanted to get back into the Northwest. Lived in Seattle for a lot of years, but we lived in New York for 15 years when I worked for the Westminster Kennel Club. So in New York City, we started a charity called Angel on a Leash, which also ends up being the title of one of my books. But it's about therapy dogs. It's creating and administering therapy dog programs in healthcare facilities all around the country. We had a great concentration in New York. Of course, our dogs were the first dogs ever allowed in the famous Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, for example. Our dogs were the first dogs ever allowed in the Ronald McDonald House in New York City. Our dogs were a lot of different places. Grace, my Brittany, and I would go to visit the VA hospital in New York City every Wednesday. It was my demographic. I'm their age. I'm a guy, and I'm a veteran. So it felt good for us to be there visiting the veterans who were in the hospital, and they all loved Grace. She visited with them bedside. She helped the physical and occupational therapists to get their patients, their clients, to do certain exercises and things that they might not be enthused about doing a range of motion exercise for their therapist. But if you put a dog in front of them, put a brush in their hand, they'll pet that dog and they'll be doing their range of motion right there. So the dogs can do great things. You know, dogs change the energy in the room. They walk in and suddenly everybody's smiling and talking and looking at the dog. And that's where it all begins in terms of helping people and helping people be healthy and happy and carrying on.
So, David, a lot of our audience listen to our show for our dog training advice. Most of our episodes are about that. And we get a heck of a lot of calls every week about folks calling us up and saying, I want my dog Max to be a therapy dog. I think he has what it takes to do that. And, of course, they all want to visit hospitals and whatnot. You are an expert in dogs. You've been doing this for decades. What do you think makes a good therapy dog?
I like to say that great therapy dogs are born, not made. And most of our training is really aimed at the human partner of the therapy dog team. The dog's got to enjoy it. The dog's got to enjoy being around people, or it's not going to be fun for either of you or any of you that are being touched by them. So I would say start with a dog that's agreeable and likes to be around you and likes and enjoys other people. So that's the starting point. We will train you, and good organizations will train you to advocate for your dog, to protect your dog in all situations. You know, you don't, if you go into a hospital and your dog gets tangled up in somebody's tubes and pulls them out or something, that's not going to be good for anybody. So you want to make sure that your dog is agreeable and listening to you and being well-trained. So I would say start there. Start with yourself, knowing that, first of all, it's an activity that you want to do. You want to help people in need, and that your dog is amenable to that as well. So it's a great way to spend time with your dog, doing things with the dog that you love, benefiting people in your community who are in need for one reason or another. But it can happen easily. The easiest thing to do is just get somebody to smile.
Exactly.
You know, maybe somebody that's been in the hospital for a while and hasn't had a reason to smile. They get poked and prodded all day long, and they're tired and they're sore. And the dog walks into the room and they give you a big smile. When we were in New York, working it with the Ronald McDonald House a couple of times a week, where my wife was actually the director of family support there as well as a Catholic chaplain. But we walk in there and the kids are there to greet the dog. And the parents will interact with you as well, and they'll say, you know what, that's the first time she smiled all week. And you get the parents to smile, you get the kids to smile, it gets the parents to smile too. And that can be the simplest thing. And then we can move on to other things like physical therapy and occupational therapy. But mostly it's giving people a chance to maybe to talk. Maybe they haven't had anybody to talk to, or they haven't had anything to say. Get them to feel good. It lowers their blood pressure. It lowers their heart rate. It lowers their respiratory rate. It increases the flow of good hormones, the endorphins in people, and it just does good things just by being there. So that's what I want people to think about if they're interested in being a therapy dog handler with their dog. I think it's a great way to go, and I encourage you to be involved.
And unlike service dogs, where dogs are providing tasks, assisting folks with tasks, you don't have to have, you know, the prototypical service dog for a therapy dog, like a German Shepherd or a Golden Retriever or a Labrador. A therapy dog can be any sort of dog that is able to do what you're trying to do. Is that right?
That's correct. A therapy dog can be any dog that enjoys people and being around people. It can be any breed or mixed breed. It's just being there and being happy to be there. Service dogs, of course, as you know, are trained for an individual, and they do things for that individual to help them in their daily lives, whether it's mobility assistance or being a guide dog for the blind or being a sensory alert dog, things like like alerting on you when your blood sugar's dropping. I'm reminding you that it's time to go. It's amazing the things that dogs can tell in people and their physical conditions. So that's great.
We're going to put a bunch of links for your books and things on the show notes, but I want to end this show going back a little bit to the dog show that's coming up here this coming Sunday on NBC, the Beverly Hills Dog Show. And I know you had mentioned the National Dog Show that happens around Thanksgiving. Since this show is listened all, you know, at different times, they may catch one show or the other. From a fan's perspective, how should they watch one of these dog shows? Of course, it could just be pure entertainment just by seeing the different breeds run across the screen. But how can people really get involved and really learn what it's all about just by watching the show on TV?
Well, you're right. The first thing is entertainment. 208 different breeds and varieties of dogs. Hey, I never saw one of those. Or what's the story on this dog, Dave? Tell me something. Or you can watch the competition. It's the old American way of who's going to be the very best dog in the competition. Who's going to win? And you can cheer for your favorites that way. But I always say we have a great alma mater factor in that if I'm sitting at home with my Siberian Husky I'm going to root for the Siberian Husky. And I'm going to say, you know what, Grace, you and I could do that too. If I just groomed you a little better and maybe we did a little road work together and we watched our diets, we could be out on that carpet too and doing those things. So we want that. But at the same time, I like to say, and I hope it's not trite, but I like to say the real best in show dog is the dog that's sitting next to you on the couch at home. So watch our show, be entertained, learn some things. Think about it in terms of your own dog and then reach over and hug your dog and say, hey, you're my best in show. So that's what we're all about.
Hey, that's excellent advice. And I agree with you. Your best buddy there watching the show with you is reason enough. I think,
everybody
loves dogs for their own reasons, whether they're working dogs or therapy dogs or show dogs or whatever. We pick them to be a part of our lives because we want them to be a part of our lives. And I think that that's a real special bond that we have. Lastly, David, do you have a website or are you on social media? Where can folks find you and follow you if you care to share?
Well, I do have a Facebook at David Fry, F-R-E-I. I'm on Twitter at D Fry the Dog Guy. Our Facebook for the Beverly Hills Dog Show is that, beverlyhillsdogshow.com. And on NBC, you can follow us through the NBC Facebook page too, or website.
Very good.
So yeah. Well, turn in and watch us. We have a lot of fun with Beverly Hills. We got millions of viewers. We're in a great time slot. We actually taped the show back in February and had some post-production holdups because of all the events that are going on in the world right now. And it's now ready to go, and we think we've come into a perfect place to have it.
Excellent. David, it's my pleasure to have you on the show today. Good luck in all of your endeavors with the broadcasting as well as the therapy dogs and everything else. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thanks, Robert. Well said, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Let's talk come Thanksgiving time. When we hope the National Dog Show will be on for everybody.
Sounds like a plan. On behalf of my guest today, David Fry, this is Robert Forto for Dog Works Radio. We will see you guys next time. Goodbye.
This episode of the podcast is sponsored by First Paw Coffee Company. Learn more at firstpaw.coffee.
From First Paw Media, this is Dog Works Radio. We hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we invite you to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find a link on the episode notes. You can tap or swipe on the episode cover art, and you'll see some offers from our sponsors. You can support our show by supporting them. If you like what you have heard, we would love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe too. Your hosts are Robert and Michelle Forto. Our producer is Robert Forto and created for First Paw Media. Did you know that Alaska Dog Works trains service dogs for those in need throughout North America? Each and every service dog that is trained through the Lead Dog Service Dog Program and Michelle Forto and her team has an individual training plan. We train for autistic, mobility, psychiatric, and PTSD for our soldiers for service work. If you know of someone that may need a service dog, please take a moment and check out Alaska Dog Works on social media and at alaskadogworks.com.